Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Let's talk television with Alexander Zelbin, managing editor of Decider.com. If you've not visited Decider.com, you owe it to yourself. Great stuff about the world of television. Alexander, thanks for being here. How are you?
Hey, no problem. Thanks for the nice plug, too. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I enjoy your website immensely. I hate to start out on a sad note, but this is pretty rough. Another name has been added to the long, long, long list of potential sexual abusers. This one, a major surprise, Tom Brokaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this came out the other day. Now, this goes back to the 1990s. There was a correspondent for NBC News named Linda Vester who has accused Tom Brokaw of harassing her. Of course, Brokaw has come back and said, I only met her twice. I don't even really know her. You know, we've heard these conversations before. We've seen this sort of dialogue back and forth before. It's tough to call at this point who's right and who's wrong, but certainly it doesn't look great for Tom Brokaw.
Yeah.
It also doesn't look great for NBC, particularly because they're still reeling from the Matt Lauer allegations and other allegations. So they're going to have to take a hard look at their culture, even if this is something that is decades old.
If you put together a list of all the actors and anchors and authors and so many people around the arts, it's like a who's who. It's so hard to fathom that a guy, such a well-respected journalist, newsman as Tom Brokaw could be involved. But we've had two different women come forth in the last 48 hours saying that there was inappropriate behavior.
Yeah, you know, it's a culture all over. I mean, it's obviously it's not only in news organizations. It's not only in entertainment. It's, you know, we're two guys talking about it, but it's all of society and pretty much nonstop. And it's gone relatively unchecked or at least unpunished for years. You know, part of the conversation recently has been that we had this explosion of Me Too and Time's Up that started back in October with Harvey Weinstein and continued to snowball and snowball. And then almost hit a little bit of a pause at the beginning of the year, and now we're getting the news cycle of, can X person make their comeback tour? There was news the other day that, I don't know the truth of this, but that Charlie Rose might host a show where he interviewed men who had been accused by Me Too, and people blew up about that. So I think, if anything, we're just at the beginning of this. There seemed to be a little bit of a pause there, but I think we're going to be right back into it. And the Tom Brokaw thing is just the first of many.
All right, I'll add the woman's voice to this. Now two
Please.
Guys talking about it. It seems to me, and I could be way off here, but it's like all these people are successful. They have a lot of money and they feel like, you know, I have achieved greatness in life. I can do whatever I want. Because that's what Tom Brokaw, that one surprised me. And same with Matt Lauer, but it's like they're used to getting what they want because they either have money to buy it or power to get it, so they just assume women are part of that.
You know, it's exactly what you're saying. I mean, it's relatively unchecked too. I mean, if you're the higher you get on the food chain in any industry, you get whatever you want at any point. You have people devoted to catering to your every need, so why wouldn't you take what you want, even if, and this is a terrible thing to say, so excuse me, but even if it includes people, you know?
Well, it sure seems like that's what it was all about.
Yeah. Since we're on the topic, the verdict was handed down in the Bill Cosby case yesterday. So where does this leave his show business legacy? I've read several accounts of people going, you couldn't be more done than Bill Cosby is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens with all the television shows?
Have they finally taken it off? Because it was back on.
Alexander, you can address that better than I can, but I'm just curious, what happens now with his all the work he's done over the years? Is it gone forever?
And should it be? Like you're saying, I mean, there's a lot of different opinions on that, and it's a very tricky question. We were actually discussing this in the morning meeting this morning. You can still, of course, watch The Cosby Show online, but on the other end of the spectrum, he taped a comedy special for Netflix that is probably never going to see the light of day. So anything new and anything recent, I think, is being scrubbed. Anything old, there is a certain legacy to it. You know, this is going way back in my career, but I used to work at MTV News, and there's a writer, now editor there, named Rebecca Thomas, who wrote a great story right when the first Bill Cosby allegations came out, where she was grappling with it because As an African-American, she had grown up watching and loving The Cosby Show, and then suddenly you find out these things about this man. So how do you deal with that sort of thing? And what she ultimately said was, at least in her opinion, for her, she could still watch and love the show because it meant so much to her life, but has to completely divorce it from Bill Cosby, the person. I personally would venture that I think it's a personal experience. For me, I don't think I'm ever going to go back and watch The Cosby Show at this point, but I do understand that other people may have alternate viewpoints.
I swear I have tried on two or three different occasions, very early on during the accusations, I'd be flipping around and one of the episodes would come on and I'd watch for a few minutes and I felt dirty watching it. And I also have, Wendy and I are a little bit older than you, Alexander, but when we were growing up, Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids was a staple on Saturday mornings, and I've got the action figures in my office at home, and every day I look at them and I feel shamed that I had so much joy from Fat Albert and the Cosby
Kids.
Didn't
you turn them around and make them sit in the corner for
a week?
While?
I turned them around, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a personal experience, and not to turn this into a psychiatry hour. I think ultimately, if those things did bring you joy, I don't think this should necessarily take away from it. I think people still should allow those things to fuel them and fuel their happiness in some way. But at the same time, I do understand revisiting it. I think you almost have to compartmentalize it. You push it back into a corner of your mind as, this is something I enjoyed, not something I'm currently enjoying.
That makes sense.
I'm wondering, and this is probably too fresh at this point, but you know how they did The People versus O.J. Simpson, which I was hooked on, both of us were. We loved it. I wonder if they're going to do something like that with the Bill Cosby case.
Well, I also think they're two very different things, because O.J., I don't know. I probably shouldn't get into it too much, but I think O.J., the way that he depicted on the show, was a little more of a tragic figure.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that with Bill Cosby.
That's
although
a good point.
He maintains his innocence, you know?
He does.
I was shocked yesterday at the conviction, I'll be honest with you. I'm sort of relieved.
Sure.
You have to do what you have to do, but I'm surprised that it happened. So.
Yeah.
And go on, Alex. I'm sorry. Man.
Oh, I was just going to say that I'm friends with a lot of entertainment journalists who have been covering the story nonstop for years, and the reaction from all of them was just this sense of relief that it felt like you were finally able to exhale, is something that I heard over and over from them, because they've been covering this so heavily and feeling this so much that. Yes, like you said, he maintains his innocence, but this guilty verdict felt like closure to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially after the first round ended in a mistrial, you'd have to think, if you were any of the accusers and or victims, you say to yourself, boy, we've been through a lifetime of misery because of this guy, and he's just going to skate away. But it didn't play out that way.
Yeah.
What a story. All right. This segment with Alexander Zeldman, sponsored by WOW Internet TV Phone. Stick around and find out what the WOW moment of the week is. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Alexander Zeldman is our guest. He's the managing editor for Decider.com, a great website. If you love entertainment, visit it. It's Decider.com. In a little bit, the WOW moment of the week. Alexander, first, though, Adam Sandler has another Netflix exclusive. What is this?
This is a movie called The Week Of, and the big headline is that it's reuniting him with Chris Rock. So that should be good, except it's not that great.
Oh, no.
Which is unfortunate. Yeah. It also features Rachel Dratch and Steve Buscemi. Robert Smigel directed and co-wrote the film. We have a review that should be going up a little later today, and it's a little bit of a bummer. It's not maybe the disaster that some of his previous Netflix films have been, but it's also not that funny. Our writer goes into it a little bit, and Adam Sandler had his heyday. He seems to be just kind of relaxing into stuff and putting things up. So he's been putting out a lot of chill out movies where he gets to hang out with his friends,
right,
which is nice for him, but not quite as much fun to watch, unfortunately.
You'd think with a roster like Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, Rachel Dratch, Steve Buscemi, Robert Smigel, you'd go, well, that can't miss, but sometimes you're wrong. right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not without laughs, and certainly if you're a fan of the actors, you're probably going to want to check it out. It's also not very long. You know, I mean, you're not going in for Avengers Infinity War where you're spending an entire day at the theater or anything. By the way, just the concept is it's two fathers come together for their children's wedding and then, you know, clash and get together and have hijinks.
Oh, there's hijinks? So,
oh, I might be
we're in.
Hijinks.
You talked us into it.
Right off. Yeah. It's fine.
There is a show I love with Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's called AP Bio, and Patton Oswalt mm-hmm. is the principal on this show. He does a great job, and I'm very much into, and I'm kind of surprised, Alex Inc., featuring Zach Braff, mm-hmm. who used to be in Scrubs, which I never watched mm-hmm. a second of Scrubs. He's very likable. He's a podcaster who quits his radio job like we have, Bill, and goes on to podcast to try and make money. Two very good shows that I'm enjoying.
You should talk to one of our writers here at Decider named Josh Sorokatch. He is a huge fan of both of those shows and has been writing about them whenever he can. For AP Bio, we actually put up something about the young cast on the show, which
they're fantastic.
Like, I agree. They're wonderful. You know, usually you feel like young actors, they're a little, you know, too precocious. So
I hate them normally.
Yeah. But they're as good as Glenn Howerton and Patton Oswalt on the show and get so much to do. It's so much fun.
It reminds me of the kids that were in Jack Black's School of Rock.
Oh, yeah?
Although better.
Oh.
They are a little older, too.
The bit of the show is that Glenn Howerton doesn't want to be a teacher and doesn't want to be there, so they have to, but they want to learn. So they keep coming up with increasingly complicated ways to trick him into teaching them things. It's great. It's really funny. And it's a very good show. People are just checking it out. You also mentioned Alex Inc., which is another one that Josh has been writing about. He actually put up a piece on the site the other day where he said, forget Roseanne, Alex Inc. is the ABC show people should be watching.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. You know, there's a certain level of comfort, I think, to having Zach Braff back on your television every week. We got used to him with Scrubs, and it's fun to see him back on a show.
He's a good actor.
He really is.
I have a question for you about Fear the Walking Dead. When Fear the Walking mm-hmm. Dead started, in the timeline of things, it was a couple of years behind The Walking Dead, but now we have a character, Morgan, that's crossed over from Walking Dead to Fear the Walking Dead. And that could only happen if they were equal in time. Or did I miss mm-hmm. something? Is that true? Am I right on all this?
You're absolutely right with all this. Without making it too complicated, at the end of season 3, there was a big event where it looked like everybody could have died. Mm-hmm. They jumped ahead about a year, which brought Fear the Walking Dead almost even with The Walking Dead's timeline. It's still a little behind. But season 4 has a new showrunner. It has a new focus. And it has two timelines running. So we saw Morgan literally walk off of the set of The Walking Dead in the season premiere and onto Fear the Walking Dead. He's interacting with new characters who are interacting with some of the older characters on Fear the Walking Dead. And the season has been showing us how that past timeline is eventually going to hook up with the quote-unquote present timeline of The Walking Dead.
Interesting.
I'd also mention, if you're a fan of the show, without saying anything, watch this Sunday's episode live.
Oh, okay. I definitely will.
Spoilers are going to happen. I started watching Fear the Walking Dead, maybe the first season for sure, and a little into the second. Is this the third one?
Mm-hmm. This is the third one, yeah.
Fourth one, actually.
I didn't watch the third. I gave up. But then when Morgan went to pay a visit, I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I brought that up to you, and you said there are very many new characters.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'm not missing anything.
Wendy, Jenna Elfman mm-hmm. walked off of Dharma and Greg and into to Fear the Walking Dead.
I saw her.
I don't know how she did that.
It's the same universe.
But I'm not that lost is what I'm saying.
Right.
So
you can catch up pretty quickly. Yeah, it's really fun.
It's a whole new show. So if you want to jump in, I would recommend going back. It's been a little back and forth with that show, but the third season I thought was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I definitely recommend checking it out.
Excellent. And what is your wow moment of the week? What is it?
Well, I don't know if you guys checked out Lost in Space on Netflix. It came out a couple of weeks ago, but everybody else checked out Lost in Space. It was actually the second biggest Netflix series premiere of the last year, right after Stranger Things, which is pretty huge, particularly for a really old property. It's just very impressive that Netflix keeps bringing these things out and keeps packing them out. I'm looking for the numbers here, but the premiere day reached almost 9 million viewers for Stranger Things, while Lost in Space racked up over 3 million viewers, which is still pretty huge. It was actually one of the most binged shows after Stranger Things, Defenders, and Fuller House of the past year. So that definitely points to big, promising things for the future of the show.
I've heard good things about it. You actually, a couple of weeks ago, were the one who said you gotta try it out. And then several other people have corroborated your story. So Lost in Space on Netflix is a pretty good move, huh?
I love it. It's, I've said this a lot to a lot of people, but it's literally Lost, comma, in space. Mm-hmm. It's basically the way that they set it up. Ah. So if you're missing Lost,
yes,
they play it off like that. The effects are great. The cast is great. It has a really very sweet earnestness to it.
Yeah.
But the action and the way that it's directed, it's very far beyond the old series.
All right, excellent.
I definitely recommend it.
Very, very good. Alexander, always fun to talk to you. Thanks. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Alexander Zeldman, the managing editor of Decider.com. Visit the website, Decider.com. We'll take a quick break. We've got news for you. And then Tony Fulmer stops by.
Wow.
I know.
Revolving door of guest assistants.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.